Well, has anybody ever watched the Undercover Boss? Anybody see that show? Here's one slide from one of those shows. I've enjoyed watching it. It comes on kind of late on Sunday nights. And the show follows CEOs of different companies that go undercover into their own company. Some of them don't shave. They try and look like a normal worker. They come in, get hired into an entry-level position, and they work side by side with their employees. And, of course, their employees have no idea that this is the CEO of the company that they're working with. So some of these employees are training him how to do the job. It's interesting to kind of watch the interaction between these employees with the CEO of the company when they really don't know that's who he is. Some of them do really well. They do a great job at their job. Others don't do so well. Last week, somebody actually got fired because of it. Eventually, anyways, they did horrible at customer service, and of course the CEO is sitting right there watching them do this. And he wasn't very pleased with it when he finally revealed his identity to this person. So it's an interesting thing for me to think about what that would be like if your boss or whatever, you didn't know he was right there watching you, everything that you do. I had to think of that when I was thinking about this message. This is Palm Sunday. And this undercover boss idea reminds me in some ways of how God revealed himself to us through Jesus. Now, we know the story. God came to earth in the form of a baby, born to a humble virgin in a stable in the small town of Bethlehem. Jesus was recognized by some. The scriptures record that. Of course, God revealed to the shepherds who he was. We also see that when he went to the temple, when they took him to the temple, there were a couple people there who knew who he was, Anna and Simeon. But most people had no idea who Jesus was. In some ways, he was coming undercover. And we see even when he began his ministry, he was healing the sick, casting out demons, preaching and teaching. But he began in small communities. Maybe a small community like London here. He didn't begin in Jerusalem, like the center of religious activity in Israel. He didn't start there. He started in these small communities. And when he confronted demons, you remember what he would often say? The demons couldn't help but identify who Jesus was. It was like they were compelled to do so. That you're the Son of God. And what does Jesus tell them? He tells them to be quiet. Don't say that. Be quiet. So he's coming somewhat undercover. Even after performing several miracles, some of the miracles that he performed, he gave strict orders not to tell anybody what had happened there. He hung out with what we would consider disreputable people in society, the poor, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and his disciples, the very people that were close to him. It's interesting that he didn't choose anybody from high position in politics or in the religious authority. None of his disciples were those kind of people. A very eclectic group of really nobodies. He didn't seem to make any grasp for power. It's like he was undercover. Now we see some recognized who he was, but most did not. Most didn't understand who this was in front of them. Many were amazed by his miracles, yet it seems that they really didn't recognize him, like he was undercover. Even his disciples. I'm always amazed in reading the stories about his disciples. In fact, this past week, our small group, we read the story of the disciples were rowing across the lake, and there's a stiff wind, and they can't hardly make it, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And they're terrified of him. They thought he was a ghost. And then he comes into the boat, and the winds stop, and it says that they're amazed. They're amazed at him. They still don't quite understand. It says that they didn't understand about the loaves. Now, that refers to right before this, Jesus fed the 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fish. And it's probably, they probably had some of those loaves in the boat, is my guess, heading back across the lake. They probably had some of those in the boat. But they just didn't understand that this was the Son of God, that this was the King. They said, "Who is this?" Now, today is different, though. Today, Jesus is recognized for who he is. We're going to talk about when he comes into Jerusalem. He's recognized at least by some. Today, he is treated as he ought to be treated, at least by some. Now, I'd like to read this story together. If you would turn with me, Larissa already read these verses, but let's read them again. Or you can follow on the screen as well. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read 35 through 44. Jesus is nearing Jerusalem, and his disciples bring him a young colt, as they were instructed. Let's begin in verse 35. It says, "They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Well, who is Jesus? He's the King. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." No longer is Jesus hiding his identity. The time for the fulfillment of his ministry had come. He is the King. And finally, at least in some way, by some people, he is treated that way. He is my King. He is your King. I wonder if you've thought about that lately, the fact that he is the King, that he is your King. And I have one question I want to leave with you today, and that is, what is your response to your King? What is your response to your King? How do you respond to your King? What was the response of the crowd as we see him coming into Jerusalem? It says they spread their cloaks before him, really as a sign of reverence and respect, kind of laying out the red carpet in front of him. They shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord!" Does that make you feel uncomfortable? That's what they did. "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" They did not restrain themselves. He's the King. The Pharisees told Jesus, "Keep these people quiet. Can't you quiet them down, control them? They're getting out of hand." But this time, Jesus makes no effort to quiet them. It's correct response for who he is. It needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be said. He's the King. What else can you say to the King? It's true, Jesus is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And if they don't, the very rocks will cry out. The time is right. The time is now. It must be proclaimed. And so I return to that question for you. What is your response to your King? What is your response to your King? Do you remember the wise men? They traveled for hundreds of miles to see him. And they asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews?" They knew who he was. They hadn't even seen him yet. "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews?" And when they found him, what did they do? They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And I return to that question again. What is your response to your king? How do you respond to your king? There are many responses to Jesus that we observe in Scripture, but I believe one of the most compelling, at least for me, is that of the prostitute at the dinner party in Luke chapter 7. She comes to Jesus in spite of the criticism of others. She knows that they're looking down on her, but she comes to this dinner party. And she stands weeping at his feet. She wets his feet with her tears. And then she kneels down and she wipes his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet and she pours a jar of perfume on them. Now, this was quite scandalous to some of the people who were there, to even have this woman in their presence, to have this woman doing these kinds of things. But she recognized who Jesus was. She knew he was the king. And this kind of treatment makes sense, doesn't it, for a king? Her love is well placed, well deserved. She does not call him a king with words, but her actions speak for themselves. There were others there, others who simply did not recognize Jesus. They sat there silently, not doing anything. Well, they were doing something. They were thinking critical thoughts about what was happening. Things that should happen to a king were being done. And all they could think about were critical thoughts about this. They did not understand who was in their presence, but this woman did. And so the question again, what is your response? What is your response to your king? I want to give you an opportunity in a little while in our sharing time to respond. What is your response to your king? I so appreciate C.S. Lewis's ability to communicate essential truths of Scripture through the simple tales of the Chronicles of Narnia, and I return to those several times. He attempts to help us understand who Jesus is through this one particular conversation, and some of you will recognize it, between the beavers and the children. And if you're not familiar with Narnia, the Aslan that is portrayed in this story is an allegorical figure of Jesus Christ. So I'd like you to listen to this closely, this interaction that these children have with the beavers. And they're talking about who Aslan is, and think of it, who Jesus is. Listen to it.
"Is he a man? Ask my man. Who did he get children off? We'll tell you, he's the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion, the lion. The great lion."
"Wow, a lion? Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous if I meet him alive."
"You will, dearie, make no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than us or else just safe."
"Then he isn't safe."
"Safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is God. He's the king, my dear."
It seems to me that we are awfully nonchalant about our king, aren't we? I don't know that we think often about him in this position. And I wonder, is it just because Jesus is working undercover that we kind of fall into this idea that he's just a normal person like you and I? Nobody that needs extra honor or glory? Do we forget that he told us that he would never leave us or forsake us? He is here right now among us. And I'm wondering, what is your response to your King? Do you see him for who he is? Do you recognize him? Is your response appropriate for a King, for the King? As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, the mood is jubilant, celebratory. Jesus receives praise and honor that is due him. But I want to read on a couple of verses in this story yet, verses 41 and 42. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus knew that even as they praised him, most still did not understand. Most still did not recognize him. How would Jesus respond to our world today, to our nation, to our community? How would he respond to our church if we thought of his physical presence being here with us today? How would he respond? Well, I believe many times his response would be the same. I believe there are times where he would weep over the world, that he would weep over our nation, that he would weep over our community, and even over our families. And sometimes when he's here, he would weep over us because we simply do not recognize him for who he is. This past week, as I was studying this message, I found myself weeping over these things, over myself, over my neighbors, over our church. There's so much we still don't understand. If only we would see him in all of his glory as he stands among us. If only we knew this day what would bring us peace. Well, not only did they not recognize him as their king, but a few days later, they turned on him, they tortured him. They spit in his face, they taunted him. Scripture says that he was clothed in a purple robe, mocking him as king. And they went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. That's how they treated the king. They hung him on a cross as a common criminal. And they taunted him, saying, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." What is your response to your King? The book of Philippians tells us that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the book of Revelation, he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And someday, when no one expects, he will return in all of his power and glory, and the whole earth will know who Jesus is. In Revelation, he says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." What is your response to your King? Chris, if you want to come up and play a little bit, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond as we move into a time of sharing. And I don't know what your response is. I don't know what you're thinking about your King this morning, but we've talked about some appropriate responses. Maybe you simply want to state that he is your King, to proclaim that this morning. Maybe you have a praise that you would like to offer to your King. Maybe you would like to honor him in some way. I don't know how God is stirring your heart this morning. But I want to give you a response to respond to your King, a chance to respond. Maybe you need to kneel before him. It's between you and your King. But he deserves a response from us. So I'd like us to spend some time just in a spirit of prayer this morning. And leave some time for you to reflect on what your response is. And for any of you who are bold enough to give a response verbally, I would encourage you to do that. Just go ahead and speak it out loud. Your response to your King. Whatever God is calling you to this morning. If you want to come forward and kneel around the front in response to your King, feel free to do that. Let's just spend some time thinking about him and responding to him. You show to us that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, I pray that we would recognize the work that you're doing here. I pray that as we think about what Jesus did this week, that we would recognize him as King and Lord of all, and most of all, King and Lord of our own lives. Lord, we ask that you'd give us a new understanding of that, a new comprehension of that, and that our lives may be a testimony to you, that we might give honor and glory to you in what we do and say, that our King might receive honor and glory from the way we live our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.